Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Hey, man. Good to be here.
Thanks for covering for me last week.
Hey, man. It was fun.
I'm kind of. It was time. A good show. I was real proud of you.
Thank
man.
You. You actually listened.
Yeah, I did. I did listen. Yeah, you're doing real good on the opening, just winging it.
Yeah, well,
you
got to
be that
winging
way,
it,
right?
You
just got to wing it and get used to it and get.
I just try and pull out my inner Gary.
Exactly.
Hey there, welcome.
Everybody should pull out their inner Gary. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, what we do on the Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com. It's the news.
You need to know.
There you go. So, yeah, it's got all the news from around the world and across the nation that I put up there for you, and you won't find it on the mainstream media. So go to the dailydrift.com. And
it's more trustworthy than Drudge.
I slanted a little more than Drudge. How's that?
Okay.
And if you miss us here live, but why would you, as you say?
Yeah, where would you,
you can
listen?
You can catch us on talkamericaradio.us Saturday and Sunday evenings. And we're also on Spreaker and SoundCloud and archived at thedailydrift.com, going back almost 6 years now, over 6 years. And for our terrestrial, let's give a quick shout out to WDDQ Talk 92 in Valdosta, Georgia, WJHA Talk 107.5 in Jasper, Florida, and WLBB News Talk 1330 in Carrollton, Georgia, Sunday nights.
Welcome folks.
Welcome.
Call in. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you won't be calling in. But if you ever want to come to Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com, you can certainly call in and then listen to yourself the next day, right?
Yeah.
Which that was kind of fun. Okay, so, well, top of the news yesterday, little shooting at Central Michigan University. I was stuck in training all day, and it kind of popped up on the screen, the internet screen, as we were going through training. We all went, ugh, what is that, you know? But it wasn't a mass shooting. And let's just bring people, I don't know how many people, it seems like it got downplayed a little bit, right? Two people died. So, young kid, I'm not even going to mention his name, the heck with him, right? Young kid from Chicago, suburbs of Chicago, so he's not like he's an inner city kid. Got in trouble Thursday night, according to reports, with police over drugs or something. Why he wasn't sitting in jail on Friday is beyond me. What's the deal with not putting somebody in jail overnight if there's a drug issue? And his parents came up, for whatever reason, on Friday and shot them both dead before he ran away. Campus on lockdown. They caught him last night, and now he's under arrest. But his parents are dead. So,
yeah,
mental issues, drug issues. I don't know. It seemed, you know, I'm still kind of mystified that if he was arrested the night before on drugs or something, I don't know, you know. Kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gun-free zone, right?
Yeah.
Here it is, campus, yeah. MSU campus, or CMU campus, right? Gun-free zone, and yet this kid's got a gun. It'll be interesting to see if it's a legal gun or an illegal gun.
You know, I was driving on the expressway here today, and I was amazed at how many people were going over 70 miles an hour.
They don't.
You know?
Well, all right, so let's.
Myself included, of course. But
exactly.
I didn't want to slow anybody down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and we're going to talk. In fact, well, I'm going to show you a perfect example about laws, because we're going to talk about that. Laws are not made to stop criminals. They're made to punish criminals. There's not one law out there that's stopping crime from happening.
Yep.
All it does is.
Honest people, honest.
Yeah, honest people are going to follow. I won't do that. You know, if you're not a murderer, you're not going to probably go out and murder anyways. Even if you are allowed to murder, you think somebody's going to go out and kill someone? I'm not going to go out and kill anybody. It's just not me. Laws are made to punish the wrongdoers. It's not made to stop you. There's nothing that's going to stop you,
mm-hmm.
which is this insanity. I'm all over myself right now, right? It's the insanity of thinking laws are going to stop things. It doesn't, folks.
Gary's back, folks. He's back.
As you just said, how many people are following along on the highway? Nothing. Yeah. If they catch you, they're going to get some money out of you. That's the whole point. They're going to punish you. Yep. The laws aren't there to stop anything because they can't. There's no way a piece of paper written in Washington or Lansing or at your local community center is going to stop crime.
You know, Lorenzo Beria once said to, I think it was Stalin, he says, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Everybody breaks the law.
Yeah.
In the Naked Lunch, William S. Burroughs was pointing out that every state will, and by that I mean government, will have enough laws on the books that they can arrest any given person at any given time.
Yeah. I mean, why in God's name would you think that more laws in this case, and it remains to be seen. I want to know. My big question about the CMU, did this kid have an illegal gun that he bought with the drugs that he was involved in? Was he involved with
the drug gang or something? It was illegal if it was on campus. It was illegal.
Yes, exactly. Yes, right? If it's a gun-free zone, even if it was legal, it shouldn't have been there. Let's take a call from Greg in Weberville, who's got something to say about CMU shooting. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, I've got a comment about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
There at CMU, the reports said that the kid's father was a police officer.
Yes, part-time police officer in somewhere out in Chicago.
So was apparently the father had his firearm with him, and you know we're not hearing much more about what kind of altercation went on, how the kid got the gun and from his father and shot them both. So
yeah, so did you? Did the report
say that it was a legal gun?
Did you hear it was a legal gun, Greg?
Well, I mean the father's there. He's a police officer. I guess this is just an assumption that the father had his firearm with him.
Well, we have reciprical
until we hear
agreements
any official
with
report. I guess we can't say that.
Greg, we have reciprocal agreements with other states, but I don't think we have one with Illinois as far as concealed carry is concerned. And just because he's a police officer in another state doesn't necessarily allow him to carry concealed in this state or particularly into a gun-free zone.
He could carry under Leosa.
Yeah. I guess we'll just have to wait and see because that's a great point. Did the father pull the gun? Did the kid take the gun from the father?
Yeah.
Did the kid already have his own gun? I assumed that the kid already had his own gun. That was not. But I could be way off because we don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues to be ironed out here. But I mean, it's a tragedy either way.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And you know, God bless the families, and let's hope the kid gets help or whatever. But you know, folks, you just
help Thursday night.
Yeah. And that's what's bothering me. If there was some kind of an arrest due to drugs on Thursday, why by Friday morning was this kid on campus and free to do whatever he did?
Like Parkland, that kid there were so many opportunities to arrest him prior to this.
Yeah.
The truth is coming out on that deal down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was up to 45 instances of cops interacting with the shooter in Parkland at this point, and nobody did anything.
Well, then there's the Obama edict that, you know, you won't arrest people to keep arrests down.
Absolutely. Don't blame me as an NRA life member. It's not my fault. It's government and sheriff's department down there in Parkland. They dropped the ball in 17 people are not with us anymore.
Yeah. So you like me are not going to be renewing your NRA membership, right?
I'm a life member.
That's what I mean.
So yep. Renewing my life membership.
Yeah, that's it too. All right. Anything else, Greg?
Nope, we're all good.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
I wanted to tie it all together with the other story you've got on the drift, which is Ed.
Yeah. The news you need to know.
There you go. The judicial system failed after teens get probation for school shooting threat.
Yes.
LaPeer teens avoid jail for a Columbine-inspired school shooting plot. It's the same thing. A lack of discipline, a lack of wanting to report things, a lack of wanting to punish kids for anything, and they just see they can get away with everything.
Yeah, well, and if people haven't been to the Daily Drift or haven't been to Michigan Capital Confidential, in LaPeer, Michigan,
shame
the judicial
you.
System has failed, frankly, in a Columbine-inspired school threat that these children made, and I'm not even going to say their names. Well, maybe I should. teenagers Gunnar Rice, Asa Candela, and Dylan DeAngelis got 5 years probation and GPS-monitored house arrest instead of going to jail after making threats of doing something like a Columbine shooting, a mass school shooting. You know, enough is enough. Throw them away for 5 years. Give them something substantial so that people know this is not a game. You know, if these kids were playing a game and they weren't serious, well, fine, let's make an example of them so nobody else plays the game.
Heck, they didn't even get 90 days. Give them at least 90 days for crying out loud.
Yeah, what was that? What was the, remember, Scared Straight? Remember that? Used to be the TV show, actually. They would take the kids and throw them in, Scared Straight. Put them in there for a week or whatever.
They've got this thing in Jackson, I think, where they take you on tours of the pen there. I've seen the billboards on the freeway. You know what I'm talking about? No. Seven something or other. Oh, darn. Maybe somebody will call in with that.
Yeah. These kids got terms of the probation include house arrest, GPS tether, no possession of alcohol or firearms, no overnight stays at other homes, random drug and alcohol testing.
Yep. And no going to a gun-free zone with a gun.
you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once again, you wonder why we're failing. We're not there, Joe, you hit it right on the head. It's discipline. Nobody's getting any discipline because you know what? The laws don't stop it. You know what stops it? The parents at home teaching
kids. If you
spank
your kids, they'll call Child Protective Services on you. And it's happened.
And
I know people.
Yeah, that is a load of crap, too. Because you know what? Yeah. Doggone it. Parents need to be able to discipline. And frankly, you know when the crap hit the fan? When they stopped letting teachers spank kids. I'm sorry. Corporal punishment in schools was essential.
I agree with you, except I think the graph spikes right after PER came out of schools.
Yeah, maybe.
In the early 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's no discipline in the schools. In fact, it's gone quite the opposite. I was talking to Phil on the Abolitionist Roundtable this morning about that. The liberals have instituted policies to not punish kids because they don't like the stats. They're worried that it looks racist because more black kids, more black boys are punished than anyone else. So rather than worry about what the root cause of that is and addressing it, they say, well, we're just not going to punish them so we can make the stats look better. Put lipstick on the pig and bury their head in the sand like the ostriches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, you know, the other problem is we used to have rules we put on the walls in school. You know, we had 10 of them. You shall not kill, you shall not, you know,
steal. You shall not covet, all those things.
Yeah. We had to take those rules down.
Okay, well, great call, Joe. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks, guys. Take care. I love you.
All right, you too. Take care. Love
you. See you, Joe.
See ya. Bye. Okay, well, let's take care of a little business because I forgot.
Oh.
I take a week off.
Yeah, you get out of the sink.
Our sponsor this half hour, Leper & Company, LLC, Accounting, Tax, and Business Consulting, 810-355-1552. Don't do your own taxes.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm going to say to people. Because, you know, when you do your own taxes, that's one of the flags at the IRS. A lot of people don't know that. Doing your own taxes, signing it yourself, is one of the flags at the IRS for auditing people. So when you pay somebody to sign off, not like me, I go to a lady, but I normally put everything together so she doesn't really have to do any work. I'm paying paying for nothing. No, it's not. I'm paying to have her double check it and sign it so that the IRS knows I didn't just do it myself and try to cheat. I had a professional do it. So go to leperaccounting.com. That's L-E-P-P-E-R accounting.com. Or you can call them 810-355-1552. And they're located in Pinckney and in Ann Arbor. All right. So Huron in Ann Arbor and Main Street in Pinckney. 810-355-1552.
Sherry and I met with the lepers this week. I was impressed. Some of the reasons they went into business for themselves were ethical concerns that they had. They did not want their ethics violated by the firms that were requiring them to do work when they worked for them. So they said, hey, let's start our own business where we can be ethical.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. And so all I can say, folks.
That may mean less money for you folks, but it's less jail time, too.
getting your taxes, and especially with the changes coming over the next year, you want to make sure you're not only get your 2017 taxes done, but prep. And get your so that you're aware for 2018 what's going to happen. Yeah, that's important. That's a big change coming. Okay, so I want to play track one, Derek, if you got it. And this is Rep. Thomas Massey, who's talking about arming teachers in school. And frankly, if a teacher is willing to be trained and carry a weapon in school, why would you not harden the target by letting that teacher do so? Because you know what? They're not just there to teach. They're there to protect your children. I give you my children for the day. I expect you to take care of my children for the day. Teach them, instruct them, mentor them, and protect them. Because, doggone it, I want my kid back at the end of the day. I think everybody does. So why wouldn't you? It's a pretty simple thing. Doesn't cost anything extra. Maybe a little training money, right? And I think the federal government said, we'll pay for it.
You know, there's a scene in the movie 1517, Joe. There's a scene in the movie 1517 to Paris where a number of Air Force students, these are airmen in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and they're in a classroom situation, and they're learning biology and medical techniques, and then there's a shooter, armed shooter presence alert gone out, and the teacher tells everybody, get under your desks, put a desk up by the door, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is the military. That's just wonderful. Just like Fort Hood, right? Run and hide.
Yeah.
And the protagonist, against the orders of his teacher, who was a sergeant, against the orders, goes and stands next to the door that's barricaded with a desk and is standing there with a ballpoint pen, poised to put it through the throat of whoever comes through that door.
Right.
Now, wouldn't it be much better to have a gun in your hand? Even if you weren't trained, you point, you shoot, you're 3 feet away. I'm not so concerned about training at that point. If that Parkland coach who stood in front of his students had a gun in front of him when he stood in front of them, yeah, story different. Yeah.
That meme that you sent around on Twitter, it's a meme, right? It's just a little cartoon. It's a teacher with holding all the kids behind her, and then the second meme is the same teacher with all the kids behind her, except now she's got a gun in her hand.
Yes, pointing it ahead. Yep.
Yeah, now she can take care of the kids, and that's the way it should be. Derek, you got track one. This is Rep. Thomas Massey being interviewed by Chuck Todd. I call him Chuck Toddler because you can listen to the way he tries to twist the conversation. Go ahead and play track one.
Look, criminals are going to get a hold of guns. What we've got to look at is what's the solution. The solution, frankly, you know, you can put more guards at schools. If you have one guard, it's probably a waste of money because you're just endangering that guard unless you have two guards. And anybody that's in security profession knows that. But what you need are some of the teachers who are armed. 98% of mass public shootings happen in a gun-free zone. And we've labeled all of our schools as gun-free zones. We need to take those labels off and put our kids in that 2% category of being safe, you know, instead of being in that 98% vulnerable category.
Let me ask you this. A majority of the country disagrees with you, right? You have
wrong.
We have 65% in a recent
another
poll.
Lie by Chuck
mm-hmm. And it's been across the board. It doesn't matter which poll. That in general, the public would like stricter regulation of gun sales in some form or another. You're proposing weaker. I understand that. You're from a rural state. And so let me ask you this, though. Shouldn't that matter?
Well, you're in a
to
bubble. You're
let me
in
ask
a bubble
you this,
there.
65% of the country disagrees with you. Do you have an obligation to legislate on behalf of them at all?
You're in a bubble. If you take out New York and California, 8% of Americans have concealed carry permits. And the people watching this show right now, there are a lot of them getting ready for church in middle America, putting their guns on. Millions of them. They're going to be carrying guns to church and a family dinner after that, and they're going to be safe.
My hands
and
up.
So, you know, all these things, these hypotheticals that come out of the bubble in D.C. or New York City or California, what if this happens? What if that happens? We don't have to ask what if this happens. People are carrying every day.
I guess I go back to is what are you so opposed to expanding the background check system? Why do you make this argument that says, well, if you just pass more gun laws, it won't matter, criminals get it. Then why do we pass any laws? Like, why do we pass laws on drugs? Why do we pass laws on murder?
We enforce what
right,
we
so
have.
Stop right there. So he just hit what you and I talked about earlier in the show, right? Why do we pass any laws? To punish the bad people. Because you're not going to stop them, Chuck, you retard.
Yep, just gives you a reason to punish them.
It's all it does. Laws are to punish the criminals. They're not there to stop any. They're never going to stop a criminal. Piece of paper, words on a piece of paper somewhere are not stopping criminals because they're criminals. They don't follow the law.
Hey, folks, by the way, if you don't know this and you carry, you're not allowed to carry on a church unless you ask your pastor for permission. Get that permission. I know churches that you'd be in a lot of trouble. You tried to start something in that church.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. But I hate watching these liberal media, it just drives me insane. I do it to myself, and I probably shouldn't, right? But I have to force myself to watch NBC, CNN, MSNBC a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to the same fact, and I was so proud of Steve Gruber last week talking about the school shooting, because he made mention, and I mentioned it to you earlier. Not one of these mass shootings, not one of these school shootings has happened in an inner city school, has it?
Nope.
Detroit, Chicago, L.A., Baltimore, any of the big city schools where they have what in the school system?
Guards.
Guards. Police. Here in Detroit, we have an agreement. They actually have like a Detroit school police section, mm-hmm. right? So there's cops in the schools, armed cops with guns, and they also have a lot of metal detectors. Yep. And they have more secure lockdowns at these schools. That's why you're not seeing mass shootings in the big inner city schools. I know the first, no, we laughed. You're like, because all the kids are carrying guns. No, but now outside the school, probably yes.
Speaking of that, and I told you about that New York Times article. That one, there's one legislator, a liberal, who said, "Oh, what do you expect women to do?" I heard on Dana Lash's show. How do you expect women teachers to carry? They're wearing dresses. They don't have pockets. They're going to have a holster. They're going to open carry. And this New York Times article was pretty supportive of an idea. I was really surprised. They were talking about how guns are distributed in schools to teachers right now as far as who's allowed to carry. And in Dayton, there's a school district that has biometric gun safes posted in different rooms with Glocks, multiple magazines filled, and then nearby a bulletproof vest. And only authorized people have the thumbprint that will get into that safe. Problem solved.
Right. Yeah, I mean, how do women? Women can be as good, if not better, shooters than men. Period. Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts.
My wife's good.
I don't want to ever hear somebody say women can't do. That's nonsense. Women are more capable of being good shooters than men, in my book. Maybe not. I don't know. But
they follow the rules more. You ever notice women are kind of meticulous? Like, yeah, they'll get the stance straight. They'll do the sight.
Reason, yeah. Right?
Guys will point and shoot.
And I just, there's something, just like the Vegas, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. We haven't heard the full truth about Vegas.
Man.
I believe there was a second shooter. I think they're hiding something from us. And the fact that you had so many things pointing to this kid in Florida and this sheriff not sending the sheriff's
his
deputies
liberal,
in.
Liberal sheriff.
I'm telling you, there's something super fishy going on. I can smell it from here. And that's 1,500 miles away, 1,200 miles away. Something's funny going on in Florida with that shooting, I'm telling you, because mm-hmm. 45 local police interactions with this kid and nothing was done, plus the FBI ignoring it. Yeah, I'm thinking that something was not.
I'm still wondering what's going on with the Nevada thing, except, you know, the town was founded by the mob. You just don't expect much out of Las Vegas.
Derek, do we have time to get in this next track? All right, so we're going to swap over and go to tariff because I want to talk to Tim. We got Congressman Tim Walberg calling in the next half hour here. Let's play this track for the tariffs. I want to get this out of the way. People say, oh, having the tariff on steel and aluminum is going to hurt us as consumers. That's a load of bunk. Go ahead and play track two.
This is not the first time that we've put tariffs on steel. We have tariffs on many forms of steel. The reason that we've had to go this route is that the conventional trade methods don't solve the problem of systemic global overcapacity and global dumping. Because people, you put a tariff on it coming from one country, they transship it through another one. So it has to be broad, it has to be global in its reach in order to solve the fundamental problem.
All right, that's Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that has to be. We used to have a viable steel industry in this country. We used to, you know, and we let it go away. And all I can tell people is this. I know there are issues. I know trade wars are something that people worry about, right? A country that can't make its own steel can't make its own tanks, ships,
it's a national
planes,
defense issue.
All right? If you end up in a war and you can't, are we buying our steel from China, right?
Yeah.
And if you go to war with China, what happens?
They won't sell us any more cruise missiles either.
All right, so we'll see you all on the other side of the break.
With no direction, yeah, too much. You're making me forget myself. Let's take a ride.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump taking hits from both sides and from overseas over his proposed tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, but not everyone's against the idea.
The president is winning allies among labor unions. The president of the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka, says steel and aluminum tariffs are, quote, good steps toward fixing predatory practices that hurt workers and cheat companies that produce in the U.S.
Fox's Molly Henneberg. From Sandy Hook to Florida's Parkland High, Democrats using their weekly address to spotlight Congress's inaction when it comes to gun safety in schools.
Between just these two shootings, Congress did precisely nothing to remove weapons of war from our streets. Nothing to tighten background checks. Nothing to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous individuals.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein, Fox News, we report, you decide.
Families hit by drug addiction already know how difficult this problem is to solve. In many cases, addicts have tried multiple 28-day or 12-step programs that did not work. Narcanon Freedom Center believes that addiction is neither inherited nor an incurable disease that requires indefinite treatment or medication for the rest of a person's life. Narcanon Freedom Center's drug addiction program consists of unique techniques to assist addicts to overcome drug and alcohol dependencies and the damaging effects to an addict's life. This is done naturally, and there is no substitution drug to handle one drug addiction by inheriting another. Narcanon Freedom Center's goal is for each individual to achieve and maintain long-term success. Any family member or loved one of an addict, please do not hesitate to call Narcanon Freedom Center at 517-629-6749 and reach out for help. That's 517-629-6749. We are in this battle together, and as a team, we can fix the problem of addiction.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, what can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you. And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Our Drift in studio with me, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Howdy.
Hey. So, if Easter Sunday's coming up, right?
Yeah.
Burroughs is going to have Easter Sunday buffet with seating at 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2 p.m., and then an Easter dinner at 3:30, 5 p.m., and 6:30. If you haven't been to Burroughs Roadhouse, burroughs-roadhouse.com.
That's a nice place.
Very nice place.
Yeah.
Great food.
Classy.
Jim is the owner out there, and they do a wonderful job. They got some St. Patrick Day specials as well.
Shepherd's pie.
Reuben's, lamb stew, corned beef and cabbage, the whole nine yards.
Beer.
Yeah, and then comedy shows every Friday. right? Yep. And beer, yes. Yeah, St. Patty's Day is Saturday this year.
Yes.
Yay, go me. Okay, I don't know if I should do a show.
You won't miss work. I'll cover for you. I don't drink. I'll cover for
there
you.
There you go. Maybe I won't come in on St. Patty's Day. You can reach Burroughs. I'm trying to find the phone number, 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. And now we've got 7th District U.S. Congressman, our friend of the show, Tim Wahlberg, calling in. Tim, Yay. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good to be with you.
Hey, so, Tim, I want to start with the tariffs. Are you okay with that?
I have a bit of concern. I want to see how it develops. You know, when you have steel mills in your district, and you also have the formers of steel, auto industry, all of that. There's a clash. There's a creative tension between that. And while we have to have free trade with fair accommodations, so you'd call it fair trade, you still have to be able to whack entities like China that are dumping.
Right.
And that's a challenge. But you don't want to end up with the consumer hurt in the process. You don't want to end up with the cheap parts having to be bought someplace else.
Right.
And so it's a question. I think the president is a disruptor in the good sense of the word. He's disrupting the status quo, which includes global status quo. And so when he makes the announcements of the intended, at least the thumbnail sketch of where he's going next week, it starts a lot of talk. And I think in that talk, will be some negotiations, and in the end, I think it will be probably a lot better than what some people think it is, and less worse than what others think it is. And in the end, when he says things like a trade war isn't a bad thing, and we can easily win it, the only thing I wish that he would do would be to talk to one of the congressional leaders and explain exactly what he means by that, and how he intends to make it a good thing and a winnable thing, easily winnable thing. And then you might have someone, well, let's say Paul Ryan, for instance, step up and say, well, I can't tell you what the president's going to do because our trading partners don't need to know our strategy. But I can tell you, having talked with the president, it's a new concept, but I think it might be workable. That would set a lot of nerves, including Wall Street, a little bit on ease. So we'll see what happens. But
Yeah. So I want you to listen to this part. So Wilbur Ross came on one of the CNBC shows. Derek, you got track three. It's that other little bit that talks about the consumer price. And, of course, we all worry, oh, is that going to drive up prices for us? And it kind of goes back to that I was doing some international training for international customs and trading myself the last 2 days. And mm-hmm. we brought up the washing machine stuff that went on a month ago or whenever it was. But I want to let people know what it would affect them. You got that second part, Derek? Listen to this real quick.
What I would like to do, though, is to emphasize again the limited impact. This is a can of Campbell's soup. There's in the can of Campbell's soup, there's about 2.6 pennies worth of steel. So if that goes up by 25%, that's about 0.6 cents on the price of a can of Campbell's soup. Well, I just bought this can today at a 7-Eleven down here, and the price was $1.99. So who in the world is going to be too bothered by 0.6 cents? Here's a can
Nobody.
Of Coca-Cola. Here's
oh,
a can of
yeah.
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has 3 cents worth of aluminum in it. So if that goes up 10%, that's 0.3 cents. I just paid $1.49 for this can of Coke. It doesn't mean anything. So all this hysteria is a lot to do about nothing.
Okay, so you agree, Tim, when it comes down to the consumer end of it for us, he went on to say that for a brand new car, it might raise, you know, if you're paying $50,000 for a car nowadays, it's going to drive costs up like $175, which I think the auto companies do to us on a regular basis anyways.
However,
yeah, I mean,
oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, as you look at that, but for some other individuals that aren't buying the $50,000 car, there may be a cost factor that causes them concern. But in the end, I think the key issue is is what he means by a trade war is good and it's easily winnable. If there is a trade war and we have, for instance, I was at a chemical company in my district, a great chemical company, it's been there for years and years, and it has a product that the only place it can get this specific component of it is from China right now. And without a trade war, they're capable of getting it. But if not, they can't get it. And that was their concern. What does it do to us? It takes us out of the market for this particular area of the economy and production, and somebody else from some other country is going to take this, who has been our competitor, but we've been able to beat them out at this point by the way we do it, our processes, the tools that we have, the machines we built, et cetera. That's a concern. So Wilbur Ross may indeed be right about the impact on a can of soup or even on a car. But the other way of us exporting and getting the necessary components that aren't produced here but are also put in our product, will that be a problem? And we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Wow, so that component was based on intellectual property that only China has access to. Well, that's a real twist of events.
No, it's not intellectual property. It's actual component. It's an actual, I don't want to give it away.
A rare earth mineral or something.
I don't want to give the company's name, but it's kind of like a rare earth issue.
Yeah, rare earth metals, yeah, which China has a lot of, which is probably why they're
taking out of Afghanistan.
Exactly.
Yes, my man.
Exactly. So they're simpatico, right? Yeah. You got it. So, well, for me, Tim, I'm still kind of amazed that the media and stuff doesn't get. It's a Trumpism when he says we can win a trade war. It's the art of the deal. You go in with the big and the bluster, and you come out so crazy big that people go, "Whoa, you're blowing my hair back!"
It's negotiating.
And then the next day when you talk reasonable, people go, "Wow, that's great, boy. Okay, right. Now I can work at it." And I think that's what Trump does all the time. I just don't understand why people always go, "Oh my God, he's absolutely crazy."
Such as like age of buying a gun, a rifle.
Yeah, it's just it's a Trumpism, and that's the way I look at it. I don't worry about it. I do think that we used to have viable steel mills in this country, and we've slowly been losing them due to China and other countries that are kind of dumping on us, right? And I think you agree with that, don't you, Tim?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the concern with our steel mills in Jackson and in Monroe County, for instance. They have made some significant upgrades in recent years, but when this 232 problem and the dumping issue came on, it put them at serious jeopardy. So they're pleased with what the president is saying now. For them, it's those metal formers and the producers using the metal that they build, that's a concern. And that's where that fine touch comes in. And we want to see our steel mills. I was a steel worker. I worked at U.S. Steel South Works on the south side of Chicago out of high school, helping to pay for my college education. And it is no longer there. It's a flat piece of ground, cinders, a large piece of ground. It was a huge plant, but it is no longer there on the banks of Lake Michigan.
Lake McLeod's.
I'm from downriver. That's where I grew up, and we had McLeod Steel Mill, and just it was
those
a big part of our industry down there. I went downriver not too many months ago, and downriver has never recovered. I mean, I go back now, and it's like blown out. There's just empty shops, empty everything.
My grandfather was had a home in Ecorse and River Rouge, and all those people worked in steel mills. They worked in shipyards.
Yep.
And that place is just a disaster now. Del Rey,
Yeah,
hey, well, but are tariffs a presidential issue or a Congress issue? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, good question, Tim. What's the deal there?
Well, it can be both, and ultimately it does come to Congress. We do want to work with the president and his administration on this, and to make it not a fight back and forth. In the end, we don't want it to produce what we saw back with the 2005 tariff on steel, and that ended up costing us about 200,000 jobs. If Mr. Trump has a better means by which his policy will work, I want to hear about it, and as a member of Congress, want to be part of that solution. And if indeed he has a means that we haven't thought of, and frankly, his policy thus far has been right on, and it's producing positive results. So I'm not unwilling to out of hand reject the fact that he has a way of doing it, but I want to know about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's the bad cop, you guys are the good cop. You know, he goes in big and blustering, and it's up to you guys to come back with the smooth deal that gets it done.
But my question is, can he do it by executive order, or this is a matter of law? I mean, and you guys are supposed to make the law. It's not Obama anymore. So I really want to know, whose ball court is it in?
You know, I'd have to check further. I think he can do it. I think he basically do it by executive order, the power he has with the trade responsibilities he has and the cabinet level officials to do that type of thing. He has the ability to do it. However, we can, as if I understand it correctly, we can call it up for a vote to reject
the
trade deal.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't want to get into an unnecessary battle. We want to be able to say we agree with the president on this. While we have some concerns, yet we agree that we move forward with this cautiously, and we're not going to reject it.
So if he has authority, it's something that was given to him by Congress then?
Yeah, I think we have basically a veto of that. But that, again, would take a strong majority in the House and Senate to do it. But having brought that up and not having gone through a trade deal like this or a tariff like this before, I'll do some checking next week and find out the answer.
Okay. Well, I'm not worried about it, Tim. I know the media wants to blow it all out, but I think this is, again, just a Trumpism, and he's going to work, and he has not seemed to do anything yet that he hasn't worked with you guys on successfully in most parts. So I'm perfectly comfortable that there is not going to be a crazy trade war, and I'm perfectly comfortable that the GOP can put this together and come out smelling like a rose if we're lucky, right? Because if we can bring back some steel jobs to this country and be able to have some steel mills here again, I think that's a good thing.
Well, and America generally wins. So if we work together on it, we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move to gun laws, Tim. It's kind of spooky the way some of these, I know we worry about the slippery slope. Give us an update. What do you think, if anything happens, what might it look like if we're going to have some kind of a new gun law or new gun reform?
Well, it's been frustrating with all of these issues coming up while we were seeing an amazing impact of the Tax Cut Jobs Act, and it's still going on. I was with the vice president last night, and I was on a panel discussing the positive growth as a result of the tax cuts. So when you have that taking place and people feeling it at the marketplace as well as their own pocket in their businesses, when you have an evil occurrence take place in Florida that's got us all talking about more gun control. And let me say this very clearly, and I know that a lot of your listeners are conservatives, are certainly Second Amendment supporters, but there are probably a few that call in or listen in just to find out what the other side is thinking. I believe most of the calls of my colleagues who want to take guns away and increase age and things like that, their ultimate end is to take guns out of the marketplace. Totally.
Yes.
I believe that sincerely. So when I go into this battle, I hope the president does the same thing. And right now I'm a bit concerned, and I hope, again, it's him just kind of forcing us to get to the table and ultimately come out with the best we can get. But if we look at what took place in Florida or what took place at Central Michigan University yesterday without an assault weapon but with a handgun, you have to say, what could stop what took place in both places? At the school, if law enforcement had responded appropriately to what they knew about this guy and how many threats he had made, and how many times he'd run crosswise with the rules, and the mental health people, social workers, had taken concern, and the school had been hardened, and we'd had security that would have stepped up and not hunkered outside, this wouldn't have happened. He could have had a cannon, as it were, and it wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have gotten in. He wouldn't have got the cannon. He wouldn't have been in the place to do this.
Yeah, Tim, you're on Steve Gruber every week, and Steve, I'm loving him more and more all the time. He's dead on the money, too, because you know what? You're not seeing this in the inner-city schools. It's not happening because we have tighter security at the inner-city schools, and we have armed guards at inner-city schools, and we're not seeing these crazy mass shootings happen there because there's guns on campus.
And I think that's what I told Steve about two and a half weeks ago.
Yeah.
I said, Steve, listen, you know, I come from Chicago originally, and the Chicago, with all that's going wrong in Chicago and Illinois, sadly, my birth state, it's just a terrible place now. But at least in their public schools, which have all sorts of problems, yet there has not been a mass shooting. The same in Detroit. You have not had the so-called mass gun shooting with an active shooter in the schools. Why? They have guards. They have armed guards in the schools. It's well known. And these people are generally evil plus cowardly. And they're not going to come in a place where they're going to be engaged immediately and killed. And I think it would be massively helpful for our schools to consider it and not have just an out-of-hand challenge by teachers saying, I'm not going to carry a gun. Well, if you don't, you say that, I don't want you to carry a gun. I'm not going to ask you to carry a gun. I want the coach that threw his body in front of students and took all the bullets. I want that type of guy who would probably say, if you would give me the ability to take the training, and it would be extensive training, basically like SWAT team training, but you give me the ability to take that training and allow me to carry concealed in the classroom or in the gym, I'm going to do it because I'm not going to lay there throwing my body in front of somebody with nothing to respond with. And I think we have to get serious about that. There are janitors that would be capable of taking a training. There are counselors. There are
principals.
There are retired police officers or veterans.
For that reason, I reject the notion of this extended SWAT-like training. Basically, CPL training, just like anybody else, any other occupation, CPL training, you know how to take care of a gun, not to shoot it inadvertently and point it in front of you and kill the guy that's attacking you.
We can say that, but I think to make sure that people feel comfortable about it, I'm not opposed to saying you have to have more significant training than simply the CPL training I've got or the combat shooting courses that are provided.
Well, that's going to restrict people from wanting to do it. And if you look at the people that already carry in schools in this country or have access to guns in schools in this country, and you see that no gun is inadvertently going off except unless that DEA agent who shot off a Glock demonstrating in a classroom about 10 years ago, idiot. But, you know, as far as teachers, no teachers have inadvertently discharged where they're allowed.
We can get into debate about what the course they'd have to take, but bottom line is I think that ought to be a consideration that we have armed personnel in the schools. Now, then we can talk about several other things. Mental health issues.
Yep.
And we passed last year the Century 21 Cures, which had a very strong and large mental health component in it. We haven't seen the full impact of that yet, but in the end, we're going to have to use it. We can't just have it. We've got to use it as well. And so a social worker who interviews a guy like this Nick Cruz, they have to respond in an appropriate way. So mental health issues. And then we passed last year in the House, overwhelmingly, a NICS fix bill. Now it had reciprocity attached to it, and I want to see that take place. We need to ask the Senate, why haven't they taken up that bill, which fixes a lot of the loopholes in our instant background check system that we had found. We're not against making sure the right people have guns when they're purchasing handguns, but when a law is fixed and it is not taken up by the Congress, complete Congress, the Senate in this case, and then we wring our hands and say we got to take assault weapons out of people's hands. We're not even willing to define what an assault weapon is, and we're misleading people who think that that gun that he used was any different in the way you fire one shot at a time, like my hunting rifles. We've got a problem. So
they're after your hunting rifle.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the other thing that's there, Tim, is the fact, you know, for me, and that's what, you know, I know I'm conspiracy Gary. I'm mystified that 45 now, or it might have been 49 now, instances of local law down there in Florida having talked with this kid, and he still got his guns, right? There's actually a video. One of the neighbors took a video of this kid brandishing outside his home with a gun.
Yeah.
And at that point, when the cops showed up, they should have said, you just broke the law, taking your guns, right there, I'm taking your guns. You just broke the law. We'll talk about getting them back whenever, but I'm taking them now because you brandished and broke the law. Guns gone.
Which is what Trump was talking about, due process later.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. In that instance, this kid had more than enough. You had two separate phone calls to the FBI, and still nothing got done. And then to make all of that worse, Sheriff Israel down there has the on-duty guy, obviously not capable for whatever reason, and then the four other deputies show up and don't go in because they don't have body cameras?
Yeah. No. It was a massive failure of the system that should have prevented this taking place, and it didn't require taking away a gun. It required stopping this crazy guy from doing what he was planning to do, and he told us he was going to do it.
Yeah.
So, that's where we really have to look at it. Now when you hear all of this stuff going on about attacking the NRA, the NRA has never done anything to encourage people to use their weapons illegally. They have done everything in their power to train people in the correct use of guns and to use it in a way that was producing freedom but also security for citizens. And so when we see this type of climbing on Delta Airlines and other entities, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, and others now taking a stand because they're too weak to tell their customers, wait a second, we're selling legal products and we're encouraging people to use it legally and we're following all the rules and all the laws. If you want to change that, then go to your Congress and change the laws. But until then, we're selling legal things to legal-minded people. But we have become a bunch of sheep in society right now that you can be a minority of the population, and if you scream loud enough and try to make a boogeyman out of a law-abiding entity, you're going to win because the media will go with you.
Yeah,
we have to stand up logically. We have to stand up with great firmness, grace, but nonetheless great firmness, and tell the people thus far, no farther. Make criminals out of law-abiding citizens or organizations that stand for the best in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Tim, as we run down, the last thing I want to hit up with you is Russian collusion. Now, I'm seeing a lot more evidence of collusion going on between the DNC and the Hillary Clinton and the Obama campaign, the Obama administration, than I am anything out of the Trump administration or campaign. Has there been any movement on special prosecutor or Mueller moving his? To me, Mueller should be if he's supposed to be looking with an open at everything, why isn't he looking at Hillary and Obama and Uranium One? Because the evidence is mounting as we speak, and yet again,
overwhelming.
Your favorite guy, Jeff Sessions, is doing nothing.
Yeah, well, Jeff Sessions. Yeah, that's a totally non-understandable. I don't get it. However,
absentee.
Mueller so far, for whether he's planning it or not, is ending up helping our scenario.
Oddly enough, yes.
And I think that, again, is why Trump has not called for him to be stopped.
Yeah.
I think he knows what the truth is, and he knows what's going to come out. And Devin Nunes, chair of the Intelligence Committee, has been a total asset to making sure things are moving along right. And now we're finding more out, as you say, about the Democrats' collusion as opposed to the Republicans' collusion.
Yeah. Well, Tim, give me your website because I know it's campaign year.
It's our campaign. I stay so much away from that. It's WalbertForCongress.com.
Okay.
WalbertForCongress.com. And our official website, which is for official purposes, which can be very helpful, too, is walberg.house.gov.
Awesome. All right, Tim, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next month, if not before.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.